Come with me to Matthew 16. This is so awesome. Or rather, Mark 16, sorry. Mark 16, this is so awesome to be on Go Teams week at church. I'm so excited about next year and the prospect. I don't know. I'm hoping it doesn't hurt our church too much, but I just have this idea that I think nearly everybody in church could get overseas next year. I just think everybody could just have a go. Just go and get the heart of God. There is nothing better for you than to get out of your normal routine stuff, get out of your own little world, and to go and encounter some culture where it's going to get right in your face and you're going to get upset and you're going to get disturbed and you're going to go, I don't handle it. I can't handle the food. I can't handle the language. I can't handle the smell. I can't handle the heat. I can't handle anything about any of this. That's attractive, isn't it? I can't handle any of it. And in the midst of that, you know what's going to happen? God's going to speak to your heart. You're going to meet with God like you've never met with God before. I tell you, if you let God open your heart to the issues of the world, then you will never be the same again in a very good way. You'll get your eyes wide open, your heart wide open. If you're open to let God do the work, man alive, He will do a fantastic work in you. Jesus said, Matthew 16 and verse 15, rather Mark 16, it must be something good in Matthew 16 because I keep saying it. Mark, somebody look up Matthew 16. 15, it's a word for you. Mark 16 and verse 15. He said to them, go into what? All the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. You know, I got to thinking about this during the week. I did a little tweet. I don't tweet very much, but I do tweet occasionally. And if you can follow me on Twitter, and I am trying to be better at it. But I was thinking about this during the week. I was thinking about the command of Jesus to go into all the world. And I know that there's a few smart aleck types here sitting here going, we're in Australia, so we're at the end of the world, and so we don't need to go anywhere. Well, you're just a smart aleck. And let's understand that the go to the ends of the earth means you've actually got to go. You can't just sit in your backyard and say, I'm at the ends of the earth. You've actually got to go. The point that Jesus was making is don't stay where you are. Don't just be limited in your own little community, but understand that you and me, that we have an absolute command from Jesus to go into all the world. We've got a command from our Lord and Savior that says you don't have an option. You have to go. Isn't that interesting? And I got to thinking about some of the commands of Jesus. I read a few websites during the week, and some of them had 50 commands of Jesus, which I thought was interesting because Jesus said he didn't really want us to go about all rules and regulations. I was interested in that. And I thought about what were the real commands of Jesus. You know, what were the two that Jesus identified as the greatest command? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. The command, surely the key command of Jesus is to love. Surely Jesus' key command is to love. And I got to thinking, I thought, I wonder if there would be any genuine follower of Jesus who would say, oh, we don't have to love anybody. Oh, that's for everybody else. Well, you know, that's for all the other churches and the other Christians. Other Christians are called to love, but I'm not commanded to love. I don't think that there would be any right-minded follower of Jesus who wouldn't realize I am commanded to love. Are you with me? I'm commanded to love. You know, when Jesus was about to go to the cross, in the last opportunity he had to teach his disciples, he taught them something. He gave them a command. Do you remember anyone who remembers what it was? He got a towel, put it around himself, and he washed their feet. And what did he say to them? He said, what I have done to you, do to each other. What was his command? His command was to serve. His command was to take the place of a servant and serve the needs of others. I don't think that there is a genuine, you know where I'm going? I don't think that there's a genuine follower of Jesus who would say, I'm not commanded to serve. Everyone else has got to serve me. Everyone else got to serve me. I'm not commanded to serve others. Everyone's got to serve me. I don't think there would be a right-minded, genuine follower of Jesus who would make the argument that says, I'm different from everybody else and everyone else has got to serve me. No, they would have the understanding that God has commanded me through Jesus, that Jesus has commanded me to serve people. I understand. He's commanded me to love people. And he's commanded me to serve people. And I got to think, is there any other real, like, genuine, bona fide commands that Jesus gave? And I thought, well, I can think of at least one other. Maybe you make your own list, but I thought of at least one other. And that was the command to forgive. Because he said, if you don't forgive other people, then God won't forgive you. I thought that's pretty severe, really. In terms of commands, that's pretty solid. That if you don't forgive other people what they do against you, then God won't forgive you either. And Jesus made that abundantly clear. And I thought, there's no right-minded, genuine follower of Jesus who would argue that it's okay to keep offenses. They would say, everybody else has got to forgive. In fact, they better forgive me a lot. Everyone else has got to forgive, but I don't need to forgive. I can hold offenses. That's for everybody else. It's not for me. No, there's nobody who would think like that. They would say, Jesus has commanded me. I know, I've got to love people. I've got to serve people. And I've got to forgive those who hurt me. These are commands of Jesus. Yes? Yeah. Yes? And then, of course, Jesus gave one other. And he said, go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And I thought, well, just as I wouldn't negate those other commands, I shouldn't negate the command to go. That you, every one of us, everybody here that would call yourself a follower of Jesus, if you have asked God to forgive you for your sin and you've committed yourself to be a follower of Jesus, there is no escape from the command to go and represent Jesus in all the earth. Now, I don't know that any individual here is going to be able to go to all parts of all the earth in their lifetime. But what I do know is that I have to have my heart wide open to go wherever Jesus calls me to go. I've got to say, and if I tell you what, if I'm not going beyond my local community, then I'm not listening to what God is saying. Because God will tell me, he will direct me where it is that I ought to go, not only in my own community, but also right around the world. And the thing I'm excited about in our mission program is that every place we go, we have heard definitely from the voice of God saying to us, as a church, this is where you need to be involved. He said to us so clearly, you have to be involved in China. You have to be involved in that emerging powerhouse of the world, and you have to be involved in church planting and unreached people within that powerhouse nation. You've got to be there. And we've known that for 10 or 11 years. And we have been consistently going, 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 going. Some say, why do you keep going to China? We're bored with China. We want to go somewhere else. Well, you're not a tourist. You're not on holidays. You ought to be going somewhere until you're sick of going there. I'm sick of going to the Great Wall. Let me tell you, if I got to go to the Great Wall one more time, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been with people in these great places of the earth, and I've seen the bored missionaries sitting there going, yeah, there's the Great Wall, you know, the Tiananmen Square, and there's that city, and there's all the greatest sights on earth. Yeah, there they are. Because they've been there like 1,000 times, and they said, I'm sick of going there. But they still go. Why do they go? Because God's called them to be there. God's called them to go. Oh, don't be a Christian tourist. Don't just, you know, the best thing you can do in these teams is to say, I got a real heart for China, and I'm going to go every year. If I'm not going to go every year, I'm going to go every second year. Why is that the best thing? That's the best thing because you will build an understanding of that culture. And I tell you now, you'll be much more useful to me the second time you go than you were the first time you went. And the third time you go, guess what? You'll be able to take a whole bunch of other people and lead them. And you'll be much more useful to God in that environment the fourth or fifth time you've been there. How do I know that? Because I've been to China heaps. And I'm only just starting to understand what's going on there. And I'm now wise enough to say to our workers there, here is the cultural problem I identify. Now you sort it out because I don't know how to. And I'm just understanding now after I don't know how many times of being in that culture and living amongst them and trying to speak some of their language, just starting to become useful in the midst of that culture. So don't be a Christian tourist. Don't think it's City Life Travel Agency and then we're going to have a bit of a tour and a bit of a flip and a bit of fun. No, we're going to have fun. We're going to enjoy life. We're going to have a great time. But I tell you what, become useful. Become useful. Become useful to God. Get a heart for what God's got and let Him take you where He wants to take you. He will do it. He will open up that up to you. We commit. When God calls us to, you know, Thailand, we've been committed in Thailand for years and years. I mean, honestly, we've been committed in Thailand for longer than some of you have been alive. That's the truth. And we, you know, there's very few of those Muslims getting saved, but we're committed. And we're saying, we're not here just for fun. We're not here just to get a nice stat to put on our mission program. We're not just here to get a good story to put on our website. But we are here to make a difference. We want to see Muslims come to Christ in the south of Thailand. And we will do anything short of sin. Someone said that the other day. We'll do anything short of sin in order to get the work of God done. Amen? We will. I'll go and play, you know, I won't be quite 50 by the time we go. I think I'll be 49, and I'll be playing soccer in the heat. I tell you what, I won't be having nobody start speaking heart attacks or any of that garbage over my life. I'm going to be fit, and I'm going to be taut and terrific, and I'll run these young blokes around, and we'll have a great time, and we'll reach out to a whole bunch of young Thai guys, and they'll see this old bloke running around with all these young guys. They say, that's really unusual, and they'll look at the way that we hang out together and the way we talk together, and they'll go, gee, I wish I had a relationship like that with my dad, and I tell you what, they'll be touched by the gospel. Why do I say that? Because I've seen it happen. Sat there in coffee shops and stuff with Andrew and Luke and had young Chinese absolutely fascinated by the fact that we would sit together and chat and laugh and carry on. And I tell you now, young Chinese got saved because they saw that happen. You have no idea what God can do in your life and the influence that you can have just by bringing the love and grace of God somewhere that God has called you to go. Amen? We're called. And if you're not, if you haven't sensed that God has got something overseas for you, some involvement, some connection, then I tell you what, you need to start listening to God because He's got it for you. I'll get back my notes because I'm going way all over the place. I want us to think about go teams, and I want you to think about near, nearby, and nowhere near. I love that. Near, nearby, and nowhere near. Just think about those three ideas. Near, nearby, and nowhere near. And let me tell you, if you haven't got something in your heart for all those three things, then you're yet to hear from God in the area of missions. Oh, it's so exciting. Near, nearby, and nowhere near. I love the nowhere near bit. I think that's just really exciting. The nearby bit's not very much fun. I'll get to that in a minute. The first one, Acts 1:8. I want to encourage you to go to those who are near to you. Go to those who are near to you, okay? Acts 1:8. This is our scripture for these three points, and it's well known. It says, Jesus said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He said, you'll be witnesses to me in your local area, in the areas nearby, and nowhere near. Areas that are nowhere near where you are right now. And I want us to take those three ideas and just have a think about it. I believe that our going into the world begins right here. It begins in our church. It begins when we walk out those doors and get on the roads. It begins when you go to your workplace tomorrow and you are sent. You are a sent one from God. When you go out of this place, you know, you better... Don't worry about putting your good Christianese on when you're here. You better do that tomorrow when you go to work. You know, don't worry about trying to cover everything up and put the best foot forward when you come to church. You're better off to put your best foot forward when you go out into the world. When you come here, you put your best foot forward. We don't want to hear all the muck, but if you're going to fall apart a little bit, probably better to do that here or in your life group rather than out in your workplace because you are a sent one. You're a sent one. God has got a hold of your heart. He's done something inside of you. And now He wants you to love and touch the hearts of other people. And it begins right here. One of the things that frustrates the living daylights out of me is people who want to do stuff overseas who aren't doing anything in their own church. And I go, why do you think? That is so arrogant. That is so presumptuous. It's unbelievably ridiculous that you think you would go somewhere else and do something for God that you're not doing in the church where He's planted you to be and in the community. They say, well, I'm going to go over there and plant a church. Well, why haven't you planted a church here? And they say, well, God hasn't called me here. Well, I say, what are you doing here? If you're living here, if you're standing here, if you're breathing the air, then get on with what God's called you to do. And one of the most important things to do in your preparation for going into all the world is that you go right here and you go hard. Get into it, that you're in the life group, that you're into an area of service, that you're submitting yourself, you're humbling yourself, you're squashing down all the ego and the pride and all the stuff that would try to keep you separated, and you actually get on with the job of doing what God's called you to do right here. And let this be the preparation of what God, and someone says, oh, well, I did that years ago. I was a young person. I served God. Well, get on with it now. Just because you did something 20 years ago doesn't mean you know how to do it now. Doesn't mean it's fresh and alive in your life. That when you go to another place, a nearby place or a nowhere near place, that when you go to those places, there needs to be a fresh bouquet of the presence of God in your life. That when you go there, the overflow of the kingdom of God is just unbelievable. That the love for God, the passion for God just overflows. You're not trying to convince anybody or twist anybody's arm, but there's a sense of God in you that just overflows in those places. Unbelievable. Begin right here. Jesus said there's a couple of ways to do that. Matthew 5:16, he said that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Don't think it's all about speaking words. It's actually about what you do. That tomorrow when you go to your workplace, when you go to your school, your university, whatever, when you go out there, are you the most loving person in that place? Are you the one who cares the most about other people in that workplace? Or are you just like everybody else looking out for yourself? If you're just like everybody else and looking out for yourself, then you are not representing God well. God is represented well by people who care about other people. You should be the one identified in that place. I don't know what's going on in that guy's life, but I tell you what, he cares for people. In fact, he cares for his own cost, his own detriment most of the time. In fact, if he didn't care so much about other people, he'd probably do better in the business, or he'd do better in the, climb the corporate ladder by stepping on somebody else. But you know what? I don't believe that either. I believe that God will bless you. And if you will just honor him, and if you'll be caring, if you'll be loving, if you'll be the one who cares in the workplace, then I tell you what, God will honor you and God will bless you. I've watched this with Heather in her workplace, and you can ask the people who work with her, and she cares about people. She cares. She's going to make tough calls and all sorts of stuff, but she cares about people. And you see the respect that comes back to that. You be the most caring person in that workplace. Doesn't mean you've got to be the walkover, the softy, the all that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about someone who really cares about what happens in the life of somebody else. And Jesus said, they will see your good deeds, and they'll glorify your Father in heaven. Isn't that an awesome thing? That they would see your life and glorify God. Oh, it just so burdens my heart that I would behave in such a way wherever I go that people would glorify God. You know, one of the prayers I pray for our services, every time we meet together, in all our life groups and everything we do, I say, God, honor yourself. Honor yourself here today. Those who are in our prayer meeting, you'll have heard me pray it so many times. God, honor yourself here today. Make sure that everything we do is bringing honor to you. I don't care what we do. I don't care what style. I don't care what format. All of that's got to be relevant to the culture. I don't care about any of that, but that you would be honored and glorified. Let that be your life right here. Go to the world right here to begin with. Second one. Oh, I'll give you the other one on how to do that. John 13:34, Jesus said, this is a new command I give you, that you love one another. And he said, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Do you know that Jesus will be glorified by the way you love the church? The way you speak about each other? The way you care for each other? The way you speak about God's church? If they start ragging out Hillsong and you join in, then you're an idiot. Because you have just become a voice piece for the devil. Understand what's going on. Now, do we agree with everything that every other church does? No, we don't agree. But am I going to air the dirty laundry in front of somebody who doesn't know God, doesn't love God, and the devil's trying to steal the word out of their heart? I would be an idiot if I did that. When that comes up, I would just talk. It happens. And next time the Sydney Morning Herald does an article about some Pentecostal church they found something weird about, I just start talking about all the great stuff that they've done. I just talk about all the money that's going into the world of missions and all the relief work and the development work. And see, most of us don't even know about it because we haven't taken the effort to actually learn about that so that when it comes up, we can give the good testimony. someone talked bad about a life group or about our church or about some leader or something. And instead of going along with them, we say, oh, that's not my experience of it. I love church. I love our life group. I love our leaders. I think they're absolutely fantastic. And if you've got an issue, come with me right now. Grab them by the hand real hard. Grab them and take them with you and say, come on, we're going to talk to them right now. And what you'll find is if you start confronting somebody and say, come with me right now, they'll be pulling back because they know they've been speaking out there, you know what. And you need how you speak about the church, how you speak about each other, how you care for each other. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples. You want to go somewhere? Start going here. Second thing, go to those who are nearby. I'm going to run out of time today. Those who are nearby. This is fantastic because he said, go into all Judea and Samaria. Now, Judea is okay because that's their own people. It was people they didn't know. They weren't connected with. There were people in other towns and other cities, other groups, you know. They just didn't know who they were, but they're all right. They're just other Aussies. You know, they're just other people just like us, and we can go to them. You know, we go down the coast and we help do outreaches and stuff like that. We support all kinds of district stuff that we do, and we go to other things that are within our culture and that we're comfortable with. We don't know the people that well, but we go and we're happy with that. But the other one is interesting, and that's the Samaritans, and because they hated them, didn't they? Anyone know that story? And so I'm not going to give you the history, but basically the Samaritans were left behind when they went into captivity into Babylon, and they started thinking that they were the pure ones, and the people in Babylon who came back, they thought they were the pure ones. It's a bit of a north and south thing going on, and so they hated each other. They absolutely hated each other. For us today, if we try to contextualize that, it would be kind of like the so-called inverted commas Christians and the Muslims. It'd be kind of like that kind of interaction where one group saying to the other group, oh, we're right, no, and they start fighting each other. That's sort of what it would be like. It'd be like maybe reaching out to Mormons or JWs, someone who is offensive to us because we believe they've taken the grace of God and turned it into rules and laws and legalism. And Jesus said, you know those people you don't like who live down the road? You know those ones who are proximate to you geographically but you hate them? I want you to go to them. I want you to go to the ones you don't like. I want you to go to that smelly guy at work that you avoid. I want you to go on, you know, that smelly bloke that everybody avoids who keeps talking about himself and keeps, he's full of himself and proud and all. You know that guy? Anyone know that guy? If you don't know that guy, you might be that guy, so that'd be a bit of a problem. And, all right, he says, why don't you go to that guy, that person you don't like, that place you don't like, that one you're uncomfortable with? I thought about who that would be. I thought about the fact that we have 30 or 40 kids from non-church backgrounds in our church building every Thursday evening. And those kids are challenging. And I thought about our kids workers who are here with them every week. And I thought, when do you get the opportunity to actually share your heart and share the gospel with 30 or 40 completely non-church people every week? And here we have them right in our church. And we've got, four or five leaders? Four or five leaders? We could do with a dozen leaders. You know, and someone will say, well, I want to go over to Thailand and do some children's programs. Well, 2 and 2 equals 4 in every language, let me tell you. Some of you, God might actually be calling you to do some stuff here and actually reach out to some non-church kids here and learn how to relate to those who don't know the gospel, learn how to relate to kids who have an open heart but have no idea, so that when you do go to that other place, you're actually ready. You say, I've seen this before. I've seen this at home. I know what that's about. We can reach them. As I was preparing this morning, I really believe there was 2 or 3 people in our church this morning and God was going to speak to you about doing kids stuff. I nearly said it to the kids workers before church. I really felt that's what God was saying. I felt there was 2 or 3 and you maybe have been a bit threatened or you're not too sure or you haven't been, I'm not too sure about all that, but you just sense that God is saying something. That's just a prophetic thing. I just believe that's right. 2 or 3 of you, God's talking to you and you ought to go and see Kia and Joanne and whoever else and say, hey, I think that's me. And start doing the job here with people you're a little bit threatened by. Now, guys that go down to Port Kembla and do that ministry down there, you know, that's a little bit threatening sometimes to walk into a place you don't know anybody, they're all different, and to start reaching out. And Jesus said, I want you to go to Samaria. Yeah. The ones you're uncomfortable with, the ones you don't like, the ones you're not sure about. Amen? The last one, I've got to get to it quickly. The last one is to go to those who are nowhere near you. Nowhere near you. You know, I think this is actually easier than the second one. I think sometimes we skip over the nearby and go to the nowhere near. And we need to come back a little bit and go, well, if I'm not prepared to go to those I'm uncomfortable with in my own community, in the hospital, in the prison, in the neighborhood center, wherever God leads you, if I'm not prepared to do that, then why am I thinking that I'm going to use my money to go somewhere else? Because sometimes that's a little bit easier. But he says, go. He says, Mark 16:15, he says, all creation. Acts 1:8, he says, to the ends of the earth. I don't believe there is any escape from the call of God to the world. I don't believe there's any escape for that for any believer. There is no escape. Some of you are called to go permanently. And we're thinking of you right now, but we just don't want to say who you are. And some of you are called to go permanently. God has got a call on your heart. It's in you. It's in your spirit. It resonates with you. And you know, I'm actually meant to retrain in some Bible stuff. And one way or another, I'm meant to go cross-culturally to a place that is completely unreached with the gospel and do something to reach that place. Some of you know that already. Others maybe not know it yet, but God is calling you to exactly that. Not everybody. If everybody did that here, then we'd be bludgeoning off everybody else for support, and maybe that'd be okay. But I don't think it's everybody, because the rest of us, we're called to do what else? We're called to send those who physically go. We're called to do that. We're called to actually sacrifice and talk about wealth to give. We're called to generate as much wealth as we possibly can in order to give to the work of God around the world. That's exactly how it is. If you've got an ability to make wealth, then you better get to it, because we got more ways to spend that money than you can poke a stick at. And none of it is about just enriching anybody here. It's all about doing the work of God here and around the world. And so if you've got some ability to get some dollars together, then get after it, and get after it hard. Because I believe this, the sacrifice that someone makes to leave home and family and go to another cross-cultural situation where it's hard and it's difficult and they make all kinds of sacrifice, I believe that we are called to exactly the same, no less, in our work to support them. I totally believe that's what we're called to. If they're going to work 80 hours a week in order to get that job done, then maybe we ought to be doing the same to get the dollars together to support them. Maybe we need to do the same by staying up all night praying and fasting, that God will give them breakthrough. I don't know what it's going to look like for you, but I believe that support has got to be there, and it's got to be real. It's not enough to have a faith promise offering once a month and give you 50 bucks or your 100 bucks or even your 1,000 bucks and to say that's the end of the day. It's not the end of the day. It's just the beginning. That I am called, you are called, to be such an incredible support to those who have actually gone. Yeah. To get behind them in prayer and relationship. To pray for the people of the earth. You know, that you can travel the world this afternoon. Just get into a quiet place and say, God, what would you like me to pray for around the world? And let him start leading you to all kinds of needs all around the world. Start educating you. You say, I don't know anything about those Muslims of Thailand. Well, get on the internet and start learning about them. Go to the Joshua Project like I do and start reading up. That's not Joshua Whalen or Joshua Rolls. It's the Joshua Project. And get on there and start learning and start praying and start getting stuck into it. Let God do something. Go to the world. Amen? Yeah. Let me finish with Luke chapter 12. This is a frightening scripture. You ready for a frightening scripture? Good. The masochists are ready. Luke chapter 12, verse 47. Look at this. Jesus is talking about servants and the master returning. You know, we're the servant, he's the master. Just get that one right. The servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. Anybody want to claim that one? I want to be beaten with many blows, please. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I think that's a frightening scripture. It's more frightening to you today because I've just given you a lot. I've just made you aware of the needs and all the stuff that's going on in the areas that God's called us to. And if you walk away today and do nothing about it, then you're in the place of that first servant who knew and did nothing. I find that to be incredibly challenging scripture. But I want to say to you today, it doesn't need to be a fearful thing. We have an amazing opportunity before us and an incredible privilege. I count it an incredible privilege to be born in Australia, to have the capacity to provide for my family and to go way beyond that to the needs of the world. What an amazing privilege to be born in the top 5 to 10% of wealth in the world. What an amazing, amazing privilege. You know, all those Chinese guys and those Thai guys and the poverty-stricken Tamlok people in Vietnam, they're not saving up their couple of grand to go on a mission trip to the West. it's completely impossible for them. Completely. They're living on a dollar a day. It's completely impossible. And yet here we are, here we sit in this amazing place of incredible and blessed privilege. I thank God for it every day. What an amazing privilege that we have. I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not sorry for it. I'm just incredibly grateful for it, that I have the incredible privilege of being in a place where I can make a difference in the world that other people can't do. What an amazing, amazing privilege. I don't need to be frightened of Jesus' scripture about servants and stuff. I just say, thank you, Jesus, that's fantastic. I'm going to get stuck into it because I know there's incredible reward and blessing in doing what you've called us to do. Amen? Amen. Go near, go nearby, and go nowhere near. Make sure that those three things are in your heart. Am I doing what God's called me to do right here in our church, in our community? Am I a passenger or am I a participant? What am I doing? Am I a spectator or am I on the field playing? Come on, wake up, go get into it right here, right now in our church, in our community. And go nearby, go to those that you're not comfortable with, but you get a sense of God, I'm supposed to go over there, just over the road or down the street or that bloke in the workplace or that community need. I'm supposed to go there and make a difference. Well, go just nearby, just do that. And then finally, go nowhere near and let God do what he wants to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you for the amazing opportunity that we have. I thank you that you've been leading us and guiding us as a church, and you've opened up these doors of opportunity. And I just give you thanks. I give you praise. I thank you for your people who are so incredibly faithful in giving and participating and being part of what you've got for us. And we look forward to next year. We look to all the things you've called us to do, particularly overseas. And we pray that you would lead and guide every individual into what you would have us do. Those who would make provision for that, those who would actually go and do it, those who will pray into it, those who will strategically prepare, whatever our role is meant to be, that we'll get stuck right into it and see you do what only you can do in the hearts and lives of men and women. And we just give you thanks and we give you praise today. As we've opened our hearts today to the purpose of God in the world, you might have realized that you are miles away from where God wants you to be, that your relationship with God is not very effective, that you've actually allowed it to be to slip and to slide, and you don't have an effective relationship with God today. We want to give you opportunity today to get right with God and be in right relationship with him. Jesus died for you so that you could have a relationship with God, your Heavenly Father. And we're going to pray in a moment. And if you're ready to pray that way, we want you to open your heart and get ready to pray with us so that you can be right to God, with God today. Thank you, Jesus. I know we do this every week, but don't let it become commonplace. This is the most important thing that you'll ever do in your life, is to be right with God. The rest of it's just an outflow. Get right with God today. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have a little booklet, Becoming a Friend of Jesus. Just really simple, how to read the Bible, you know, just how to get to know God. Really simple, really easy. And so make sure that the person you're sitting with takes you to the back table where the hosts are. They'll give you one of these and they'll help you to go through it. You'll talk to one of our life group leaders. They'll help you introduce to people and you'll get stuck right into that. So don't let that go. You get onto it. Amen.